Hello once again, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the next episode of this really good revision history series with me, Mr. Hutchison, about the reigns of King Richard and King John for the EdExcel GCSE exam. The last episode, we were looking at different ways that kings in general in the medieval period raised money. You know, what were the accepted ways that they raised money? And then this podcast follows on directly from that one. So if you haven't listened to that last one, you need to check back and listen to that episode first, because that will contextualize this for you. This episode is about Richard and John specifically, and the individual taxes and talliages that they sort of asked of their people, so that you can judge whether or not the financial demands that they made were fair or unfair. So here we go. I'm going to jump straight in. Now, the main reason that both Richard and John both raised taxes during their reigns, and they did both raise taxes from, you know, Henry II's reign and the kings that went before, the reason they raised taxes was mainly to pay for military expeditions, okay, to fight abroad. Now, Richard, of course, was absolutely desperate to pay for his Third Crusade. He couldn't wait to get out there and make a name for himself after Jerusalem fell at the Battle of Hattin in 1187. You know, when he becomes king in 1189, he's now got the means and the power to raise enough money, to raise an army to go on his crusade. So that's exactly what he did, okay? He raised taxes in order to fund his crusade. John, similar thing in a way, in that he wanted to raise money to go and fight abroad. John wanted to raise money to first defend his lands in France whilst they were being attacked by Philip II when he comes to the throne. And after he loses Normandy and most of his French the lands in France by 1204, he then raised taxes so he could raise an army to go and win it back. So both Richard and John raised taxes for military expeditions to finance wars abroad. Okay. Focusing in on Richard first then, Richard's taxes, raising money for Richard's crusade, put a lot of pressure on finances, okay? Richard spared no expense. He was desperate to raise the best army he could possibly raise. So, for example, Richard's officials went from port to port, buying the best ships, recruiting the best crews, sparing no expense, okay? The journey to the Third Crusade was dangerous. The journey to the Holy Land in general, very, very dangerous, okay? So he wanted to ensure that his men arrived there safely. To do that, he paid for the best ships and he paid for the best crews, he paid for the best supplies, and this was extremely expensive, okay? He would have raised this money by implementing what he called the Saladin Tithe, okay, which was a clever play from Richard for a couple of reasons. Firstly, it's propaganda. You know, everyone, even the peasants in the field, would have heard the name Saladin, even though he's thousands of miles away, and they probably would have disliked this guy, you know, because he's personally costing them money. And so that sort of, you know, rallied them, if you want, against the cause. They'd have probably have been under pressure as well from their priests on a Sunday, you know, during sermons, who perhaps may have talked about the infidels and the heretics abroad, you know, and the horrible things they were doing to Christians over in the Holy Land. Absolute rubbish, okay? But it was propaganda, and people probably, extremely likely, would have fallen for it and would have given gladly to Richard's crusade with the Saladin tithe. But this put a lot of pressure on people, and that tax of Saladin tithe was charged to everybody, not just knights and barons, but villeins and people at the bottom of the feudal system as well. Don't forget, the king could also choose who he wanted to run the country with him. Okay, when he became king, Richard put everything he could up for sale so he could finance his Third Crusade. So it wasn't just the Saladin tithe and charging direct tax. He sold everything he could. And one thing that he sold is positions within his government. So, for example, he sold local positions such as sheriffs. Now, remember, sheriffs were supposed to uphold the king's peace, uphold the law, but were also the guys in local villages and towns that went around collecting taxes. Okay, now the reason people were so keen to get that job is because some of them were corrupt and they would pocket some of the cash. So, you know, they would charge the tax that the kings asked for, they'd charge a little bit on top, and they became quite rich out of doing that. Richard knew that, and so he knew that people would be sort of fighting against each other to become sheriffs, and he sold those positions to the highest bidder rather than perhaps employing the best person for the job and made a lot of money out of that. Okay. In some circumstances, the king could ask for aid. Okay, this was a general tax as well that could be paid by everyone. When Richard was captured on his way back from the Third Crusade, he asked for aid from his subjects. This was actually collected by Eleanor of Aquitaine. You know, again, remember, as part of knight service, they had to pay ransom. So not only has he asked for the Saladin tithe, now he's asking for a ransom tax from his people as well. Okay, that was in 1192, by the way. After Richard's released from captivity, okay, and he sort of heads back towards England, he started using traditional methods to raise more money to fight Philip II. Remember, whilst he's away on the Third Crusade, Philip joins with John, Richard's brother, and they attack his lands in France. Okay, when Richard comes back, he needs to go over to France and secure the sort of homelands, if you like, in the south of France. So he's charged the Saladin tithe, he's charged a ransom tax, and now he introduces scutages when he returns in 1194 as well. And he raises a lot of money when he does that. Okay. By 1198, there is some upset, if you like, some discontentment in England about the weight of Richard's financial demands. He has charged a lot of tax by 1189. Even though crusading was seen as a religious duty, so people accepted the Saladin tithe, even though a lot of people saw it was absolutely right, Richard's right, that he raised money to defend his lands in France, and even though Richard's war against Philip II was successful, and he pretty much won back all the lands that he lost from Philip whilst he was away on crusade, even though it was expensive, a lot of people accepted it. Okay, so Richard charged a lot of tax, and I'm sure some people, some barons, would have been upset with the amount being charged, but generally it seems that they accepted it. Okay, so again, when we're judging these two kings, do bear that in mind, because when John comes to the throne in 1199 and he starts charging a lot of tax, barons and knights specifically, seem to be more upset with those charges. And that could be perhaps because they'd just been charged a lot of tax throughout Richard's reign as well, and they were just quite simply getting sick of it. So, you know, do bear that in mind when we talk about John. Moving on to John, by 1204, John had lost Normandy to Philip II. This was an absolute nightmare for him. He lost Normandy and most of the other lands in France as well. A lot of the barons in England, just like the kings, had lands in both England and France. And in quite a lot of cases, the lands in France were worth more in terms of trade and everything else. So it was a nightmare for him. Okay, Not only did these lands include his ancestral home, Arnoux, and, you know, remember, Rich and John would have considered themselves French first. They would have been extremely proud of their French heritage. So losing those lands from the Angevin Empire would have been just devastating. Really would have hit his pride and hurt his reputation. You know, because of those reasons, John was absolutely desperate to win them back. So after he lost Normandy to Philip II in 1204, he was determined to get it back. And from 1207, he began to demand a lot of money from his subjects to build up an army to defeat Philip. Okay, so just got some figures for you. From 1199 to 1202, the English revenues raised averaged around £24,000 a year, which was not a lot now, but in medieval times this was a lot of money, right? But between 1207 and 1214, that was raised to £49,000 a year. So that's a massive increase. Okay, not quite 50%, but not far off, right? That is a lot of money. So that just shows you, in terms of percentage, how much more tax John was asking for than the people had been used to, which perhaps gives us some reason why his barons were so angry at him and eventually, of course, a revolt against him. John's financial policies also hit those barons the hardest, okay? Even though, under Richard, all of the various tax and scutages that he asked for weren't welcomed, they had been seen as a good cause. Under John, the taxes he asked for led to a lot of resentment. Perhaps they felt that he shouldn't have lost Normandy in the first place, you know. And so, as barons fell into debt because of the financial burden, they really resented John because of this. Okay, John also made his sheriffs collect more money, put lots of pressure on people, and the sheriffs became really, really unpopular. Okay, John was known for his cruelty. There are all kinds of stories about John, you know, making sure or ordering people's teeth be pulled out if they don't pay their tax on time. There's all kinds of cruel stories like that. I'm not sure how true those are. But that's the reputation he has. It's entirely possible, at the very least, he did, you know, put some harsh punishments in for people that didn't pay their taxes. Incidentally, if you've seen, you know, any of the various versions of the Robin Hood story, this is kind of where it takes place, with King John demanding taxes from his people, Prince John in some of the versions, whilst Richard is away on his third crusade, you know, making sheriffs, you know, like the Sheriff of Nottingham, get lots and lots of money, lots and lots of tax from the people. This is the sort of real history of that. John did do that. John did make his sheriffs collect more money, which puts lots of pressure on the people of England. John also introduced even more scutages than Richard, okay? Far more than had ever been paid under his father as well. So, for example, Henry asked for 8 scutages, 8 lots of payments in 34 years. Richard asked for 3 scutages in the 10 years he was king. John asked for 11 scutages in 16. So not only is he asking for a lot more tax and tallage, he's also asking for more scutages. So he really is squeezing as much money as he can get out of his people. He also introduced a large tax on Jewish people. You know, we talked about that in a previous episode, by the way, the role of Jewish moneylenders in England. But John is now even upping the pressure on them as well, okay, forcing them to pay more money than they ever had before. John increases land tax as well, tallage, paid by towns, and raises that to more than it had ever been before as well. So if you lived in a town and you had a profession, you were a freeman, you didn't get away with it, you also had to pay towards a tallage as well to pay for John's attempt to take Normandy back. Okay. He also increased his feudal instant payments. So he increased the royal revenue from the royal domain. Okay. And he upped the fines for using the forest fines. For anyone working in a forest or for anyone hunting in a forest as well. After 1207, these feudal incidents were increased dramatically. Okay, it's the same with the King's Justice. He also raised the tax on fees to be paid for judges. I was talking about this in the previous episode about the fact that trials were not free. You had to pay for a trial if you were accused of a crime. Well, John just quite simply increased the amount of tax that he asked for the King's Justice. Okay, he also increased money from widows, so sort of as part of the wardship fines, he increased those as well. Essentially, guys, he is asking for aid from anyone and everything that he could tax. Okay, anything he could squeeze more money out of, that's what he did. And finally, and perhaps the most infamous example of this, is a specific tax that John implemented called the 13th. And it was called the 13th because it was 13% of all movable goods. So any time that any trade changed hands, 13% or a 13th of that, sorry, not 13%, a 13th of that would go directly to the king as a tax. Hence the name the 13th. Now, that was hated by people, absolutely hated by them, because it put a lot of pressure on them, all right? And every time something changed hands, any movable goods at all, a slice of that went directly to the king. People hated it. I would imagine, after all the other pressures that he put on them, this could have well been the final straw, okay? People tried to hide their possessions, and sheriffs were told to meet anyone that was trying to get out of paying the 13th, or treat anyone trying to get out of paying the 13th extremely harshly. So, for example, you know, some people that were caught hiding their possessions, not paying the 13th, had all their goods taken off them and were thrown in jail. And the worst part, or perhaps the harshest part of that tax, was the fact that the 13th was levied or charged to everyone in society, from the small, from the person at the bottom of the feudal system, from the villeins all the way up to the barons at the top. Okay, so he really did put a lot of pressure on his people in terms of tax. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, another quite intense podcast with a lot of information thrown at you. Do go back and listen to these multiple times if that helps. Remember, you know, it's all about examples for your AO1 in an exam context. The most important thing you need to do, you know, at least 50% of your marks on most of your exam questions, if not more on the 16 markers, is your ability to explain the importance, or, you know, in this case, explain the pressures, or explain why these taxes were hated by people, or in Rich's case, why they were perhaps accepted by people despite the fact he was putting a lot of financial pressure on them. So you need to be thinking about whether Richard and John put unfair financial demands on their people, okay? And you also need to be thinking about why Richard's taxes might have been more accepted by his people and why John's weren't as well. You could well be asked to make that judgment in an exam context, you know, 16 marker, Richard made unfair financial demands. How far do you agree with this statement? You know, I could see a question like that in your exam. So you'd have to weigh up, you know, on the one hand, you know, taxes that may have been considered unfair, and then you, on the other hand, you know, you'd weigh up, you know, perhaps reasons why they were accepted, and then come to an overall judgment. So just be aware of that. Any of your revision, anything you do, you should be thinking about how that fits into an exam context. What type of questions might you be asked in that EdExcel exam? And all of your revision should be focused towards that. It's not enough just to know the knowledge. You've got to think about that AO2, that explain. How would I explain this? What might they ask me to explain? Okay, and that's equally as, if not more important than just learning the history and learning what happened, because that's what's going to carry you to the top grades. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, a long one today. I think I'm going to leave it there. Hope that's been useful to you. The next episode, now we're going to start looking at crusading. So do tune in for that one. I'm going to leave it there. So I will see you next time. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, keep working hard. Bye-bye.